Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello, and welcome to episode 539. In the U.S., we have a big election coming up in a little less than 3 weeks. And I wrote something last week about the election, and I wanted to share it with all of you here because I think it can help not only for this election, but I think it's wise advice for life. And so what I said in what I wrote, or I should say what I wrote, is that there's a lot of fear running around in this country. And some of it, much of it is very easy to understand why the person or the group of people feel afraid. If you really take a moment to look at that group of people, you can also, though, look at people who you may not share the same views. And if you can pause from being triggered and reacting to what they're doing or saying or believing, and just try to understand them, it's also easy to understand why they are afraid. And I thought of this kind of fear much like a child who is afraid of the dark and doesn't want to go to bed, to their parent or to an adult. That fear of the dark might seem silly or unnecessary or unreal because we know there's no monster under the bed. So why is the child afraid? It may seem kind of silly. Well, some of the things that some people are afraid of to other people who don't share those fears, they might seem silly. For example, people who support the current president feel lots of fear, I'm not going to generalize to all of them, but some of the people who support the current president feel lots of fear around him not winning the election. The media has contributed to, and the president himself have, and his supporters have contributed to causing this group of people to be afraid that if he does not remain in office, that there will be rioting, looting, and lawlessness, and we will sink into chaos and martial law. And to the people who believe that, they're very, very rightly afraid. To people who don't believe that or who don't support the president, some of those people think that the people who support the president, their fears are silly and unjustified. But to the people who feel that fear, it's very, very real. And then there are people on the other side who don't want to see this president stay for another 4 years. And they fear many different things. And of course, I generalized on the one side, and I'll generalize on this side too. It's much more broad-reaching, but for purposes of not wanting this podcast episode to go on for hours, I'm just trying to simplify, just to give you, you know, kind of paint the picture, if you will. So I know that this is not an exhaustive list, and I also know that I'm painting in broad brushstrokes, but it's just to kind of give you a sense of things. So people who don't want this president to stay in power again fear for equality. They fear for the safety and well-being and lives of our Black brothers and sisters. They fear for marriage equality and LGBTQ rights and all kinds of different things. They fear for the way women will be treated and all kinds of different things. And it's just a far-reaching fear. And the people who don't share that fear, who are on the other side, look at their fear and say, well, that's totally silly. The only thing we have to worry about is lawlessness if he doesn't stay in office. And the people on the other side who don't support the president would say, lawlessness is ridiculous. That's nothing to fear. What we really have to fear is everyone other than white men being targeted in this country or something like that. And so neither side is really validating the fears of the other side. But to the people who feel the fears, just like the little girl or boy who's afraid of the dark, that fear is very real. The thing they're afraid of is very, very real. So what does that have to do with this election? I hope that many people will come out and use their voice to vote. I looked at voter registration polls, and I believe it was a statistic from the 90s, the early 90s, approximately 20 years ago, let's say. And there were 127 million registered voters in the country. And today, there are, as of, I think, last year, maybe, there are, I think it said 153 million registered voters. So there are more registered voters than there were, a significant number more, I would say, than there were almost 20 years ago. And, or more than 20 years ago at this point. And so one thing that I think is very good, a very good outcome of this divisive political climate that we're in, is that more people are caring about our democracy. More people are caring about our elections. And more people are caring to speak up and let their voices be heard. And I think that is a beautiful outcome of a very unfortunate political and social environment that we find ourselves in right now. And the thing that I would say is that when you decide to either go to the polls or mail in your ballot, here in New Jersey, our governor decided we would all mail in our ballots. So I dropped my ballot off at an official election ballot box. I also heard that in California, there were some GOP ballot box, GOP owned ballot boxes that popped up, and that the government was insisting that they be removed. So if you're going to drop your ballot off at a ballot box, please make sure it is from the election officials in your city or town. Make sure it's an official ballot box so that we can reduce the potential for election fraud. But when you fill out that ballot box, either on the paper or in the polling booth, I would encourage you to not vote from fear. Before you make your choices on that ballot, try to check yourself. Are you voting out of fear? What would it look like if you voted out of a hopeful vision that you hold for the future, for your future, and for the well-being, the future well-being of our country? How would that feel to press that button or fill in that circle, holding a hopeful vision for the future? I doubt that doing what I'm suggesting would change many people's ideas about who they ultimately want to vote for. I have a feeling that most people's choices, the vast majority of people's choices, are already made up. There's a small sliver of undecided voters. And this speaks to you too if you are an undecided voter. Instead of voting from a place of fear, how about if you vote from a place of hopeful optimism about what your vote could help create for our shared future? So why did I want to make this episode? I want to make this episode because I think that this is a great way to live your life in general. I constantly talk about fear on this podcast, and for good reason. Fear is not our friend in general. Of course, if we're staring down the face of a saber-toothed tiger, then we better be afraid and we better run like heck to get out of there. But fear in parenting, not helpful. Fear in voting, well, I don't want to say it's not helpful, but it doesn't feel good. It's not good for your physical health. But when we are fearful in parenting, we do all kinds of things that we wouldn't normally do. When we're fearful in anything, we might make decisions that we wouldn't normally make. So when we're fearful in parenting, let's think of what that looks like. We go to a restaurant. Our young child is being antsy and noisy. We become fearful about what other people in the restaurant might think. And so we come down harshly on our child. We yell at them. We scold them. We punish them. When if we thought about it for a second and didn't allow ourselves to get caught up in the grip of fear, we would realize it's very hard to sit still as a young child, especially when you're hungry and you're waiting for your dinner to come. So if we didn't allow ourselves to get caught up in the grip of fear, instead of coming down harshly on our child, we might take turns taking our child out to walk around the parking lot, around the sidewalk of the parking lot, to let them burn their energy off while they wait for their food. That way they get their needs met. We're not being in the grip of fear and we're helping them. When we're in the grip of fear, we're not helping them. When our child comes home with a bad grade or fails a test, if we are in the grip of fear, we might come down harsh on them. We might say, you're not being responsible about your grades, so you lose all your video time and you're not going out on the weekends for the next 3 weeks. And I'm taking away your phone. So we might clamp down on them so that they have time to study and get a better grade. I mean, I'm making an extreme example, but you'll get the point anyway. We're taking away all kinds of fun stuff for them because they got a bad grade. Because we're fearful that one bad grade leads to failing the class, failing the grade of school that they're in, and dropping out of school, high school or whatever school, and then becoming homeless and sleeping in our basement for the rest of their lives. It is entirely possible that our child who failed their test didn't study well for the test, didn't understand the material, might have been nervous, didn't sleep well the night before. There could be a million and one reasons why a child might not do well on a test. But if we come down, if we're in the grip of fear and we come down harshly on them and we penalize them and threaten them and punish them, we're disconnecting from them because now they're going to be angry with us for all the things that we're doing and resentful. And then we didn't actually get to the root of what the problem was. So we didn't help them to figure out how to not fail another test. We didn't help them and we didn't connect closer to them because we were in the grip of fear. So when we're in the grip of fear, it's very hard to make a decision that is in our best interest or in the best interest of our child or other people. And so when you go to vote this year, this month, I would encourage you to really check in with yourself and see before you press that button or fill in that circle, are you voting from a place of fear or are you voting from a place of hopeful optimism of a better, the vision, holding the vision for a better future for us all? Even if that doesn't change your vote, imagine if all of those 153 million voters in the U.S. cast their ballot with a spirit and an energy of hopeful optimism for a better future for all of us. Imagine the energy that we would be putting into the world. It seems pretty good to me. So that's what I would encourage you to do when you go to cast your ballot. Hold a hopeful optimism about a vision that is a better world for all of us. Okay, that wraps up today's episode. Wherever you are in this world, I hope that you make it a very fearless day for yourself. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.